Okay, last time we mentioned the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that a person is chayiv in tefilas kelim only if he acquires the kli from the non-Jew. If he only borrows the kli, he's only a shoel, then he's not going to be chayiv in tefilas kelim. And we also discussed there are certain circumstances in which a shoel is going to be chayiv in tefilas kelim. And we related that question to whether a person eating in a catering establishment or a hotel, restaurant, would have to be tovel the kelim, would have to be careful to eat only in a place in which the owner actually had been tovel his kelim. There's another interesting shaila that the poskim discuss, which relates to this general question as to what kind of a connection does a person have to have to the kli in order to be chayiv in tevila. And that is, let's say a person buys food or drink that's enclosed within a kli, that's contained within a kli. Is there any problem of tevilas kelim in that context? Take, for example, a person buys a jar of coffee or a Snapple bottle or a can of soda. So is there a need for tefilas kelim in that kli? And this shaila actually breaks up into two parts. The person buying the kli, at the moment that he buys the kli, perhaps he should have to empty out the contents of the kli and be told of the kli immediately. That's one part of the shaila. But the second question is, even if you'll tell me that there's no chiyuv to empty out the contents immediately after the person has bought the kli, once he opens the kli, is he allowed to use the contents slowly but surely, or does he then have to empty out the contents immediately and be tovel the kli? Two different shots. So I think most of us would have an initial reaction that, well, the kli is really disposable, so why should it be chayv and tefillah at all? We discussed the great length, and many of the poskim assume that disposable kelim don't require tefillah. Well, that might be said, perhaps, it's not even clear if it should be said even for canned food, but that might be said for a can, the tuna fish can, a sardine can. These kinds of kelim, one could say, are actually disposable. Maybe you really can't use them a second time. It's hard to use them. They're not really made to be used a second time. You know, they're not the greatest of kelim. You're not going to empty out your tuna fish and put something else in there. But a Snapple bottle? What's wrong with a Snapple bottle? It's a regular bottle. It's just like any other bottle. So it's hard to believe that a Snapple bottle should be called a disposable kli. So even if you want to tell me that the cans, a can of tuna fish, a can of salmon, sardines, and the like, might be called disposable, and maybe there you'll say that there's no chiyuv of tefilas kelim, but the shaila still remains. You buy a jar of coffee or a Snapple bottle or some other kind of drink that's contained in a glass bottle. Is there a chiyuv of tevila? That's a very sturdy container, and the post can assume that if the container is sturdy, even if it's meant to be disposable, we don't treat that halachically as a disposable kli. There is a chiyuv of tevila. So is there a chiyuv of tevila in this case? Or should we say perhaps this is somehow different? So the Sefer Tevilas Kelim on page Kuf Yud Aleph, Ha'orah Chaf, has a long dissertation about this, as he does on most topics in Tevilas Kelim. He quotes an interesting comment from the Chazon Ish. Reb Chaim Kanievsky quoted from the Chazon Ish that the Chazon Ish, at least when it came to cans, was of the opinion that there's no chiyuv to open up the can immediately when you buy the can of sardines, let's say, the can of tuna fish. No chiyuv to open up the can immediately and to empty the contents and be tovel the kli immediately. But the Chazon Ish claimed that once you do open up the kli, then there is an absolute chiyuv to empty the contents immediately and be tovel the kli, and then you can use the kli. You can put the contents back in. You have to take out your tuna fish, and if you wanted to use the kli, if you wanted to use up the tuna fish slowly and not use it up immediately, so you'd have to take out the tuna fish, be tovel the kli, and then you could put your tuna fish back in, and you could store it in the kli. I mean, most of us would just empty out the tuna fish, and that's it. But I guess in the case of canned, let's say you have canned mushrooms or something like that, that you're using some of your mushrooms for an omelet that you're preparing now. You don't have to use all the mushrooms. No, there would be a chiyuv to take out all the mushrooms from the kli and be tovel the kli if you don't want to finish up the mushrooms. So in order to avoid that, it's a pain in the neck to have to run to the mikveh. You probably should have to empty out all of the contents of the kli and not store it in the kli. That's what the Chazon Ish claimed, that there's some kind of a split, that you don't have to immediately open up the kli and remove the contents when you buy the kli, but once you open up the kli, you would not be able to use the contents slowly but surely. Rather, you would have to empty out the contents and be tovel the kli immediately once you've opened the kli. At first glance, this statement of the Chazon Ish seems a little bit strange. The first part of the Chazon Ish we can understand. Why the Chazon Ish would claim that there's no chiyuv to empty out the contents of the kli, that taka makes sense. It's the Chazon Ish l'shitaso, because we know the Chazon Ish holds that when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, one is not allowed to open kelim on Shabbos. You can't open these canned foods on Shabbos because you'll be making a kli as a result. So the Chazon Ish Lishitaso assumes that if you're going to be making a kli only after you open up that can, so obviously there's no chiv of tefilas kelim before you open up the can because it's not a kli. That's what the Chazon Ish held. The can, when it's closed, is not a kli. What kind of a kli is that? It's storing the food inside, but it can't be used as a kli because it doesn't have a Pesach to empty out the contents to put things back in. So it's not defined as a kli. That's why the Chazon Ish claimed that on Shabbos one is not allowed to open up such a kli because you're making a kli on Shabbos. It's either Makav Patish or it's Binyan Bekalim. So, you know, for one of two reasons, it would be also to make such a kli on Shabbos. For the same reason, the Chazon Ish would claim that one doesn't have to open up the kli immediately and be tovel the kli because it doesn't have a shem kli until it's open. But the problem is, if that's what the Chazon Ish holds about the first part of the Shailas, then why does he say that when you open up the kli, you have to empty out the contents immediately and be tovel the kli? We know there's a principle that if gomro bidei Yisrael, if the kli was finished by a Jew, so then there's no need to be tovel the kli. Only the kli of a non-Jew has to be tovel when a Jew acquires it. So if you assume the reason why there's no need to empty out the contents of the kli immediately upon purchase of the kli is because it really doesn't have a shem kli until you open it up, so then the kli is gomro bidei Yisrael. So if it's gomro biyad Yisrael, even when you open it up, there should be no chiyuv to empty out the contents. So it's a little bit strange. The Chazon Ish's split seems to be a little bit difficult. I'm not sure what the answer is to that question. I think the Sefer Tefilas Kelim quotes different mefarshim who try to explain the split in the Chazon Ish. I didn't really understand any of the answers. Somehow the Chazon Ish is straddling both sides of the fence, that you are viewed as making a kli when you open it up. So until then, it doesn't have a shem kli, there's no chiyuv of tefillah. But nevertheless, even though you're the one who's making the kli, since it really like has a partial shem kli beforehand, not a complete shem kli, it's a partial shem kli, there still is a chi of tevila. That's what the Chazon Ish apparently is assuming. You are finishing the shem kli, but it still had a little bit of a shem kli beforehand, so since that little bit of a shem kli was completed by the non-Jew, so therefore there really is a chi of tevila. It's apparently what he's assuming. The Sefer Tevilas Kelim offers other interpretations. Yes?
Rabbi, could it be possible that maybe the Chazon Ish didn't mean it to be taken literally regarding opening the can on Shabbos, that it doesn't have a shame kli before? Maybe he just said that to people to understand that there is a big difference from the closed can to open can, that you're making a significant kli. If you called it a kli when it was still closed, people think there's nothing happening once you open it.
Right, you're saying something similar to what I just said, meaning maybe the Chazon Ish holds that, of course, it has a little bit of a shame kli, but you are being mashlim the shame kli, you are beautifying the kli, bettering the kli, and maybe the bettering of the kli is also usur on Shabbos. But because it did have some kind of a shem kli beforehand, so that's why we view this as klei akum, and there would be a chiv tefillah.
That's what
that is. Right, so there's like a middle of the road, that there is some kind of a shem kli even when the kli is closed, but that shem kli somehow doesn't absolve you from a chiv when you open the kli on Shabbos, nor does it obligate you to open the kli immediately when you buy the kli from the non-Jew. That's what's so strange. It doesn't obligate you. You see, once you tell me that it has a little bit of a shem kli, so why doesn't that obligate you to be tovel it immediately? Apparently that's not enough. It's not enough, even though it does have enough of a shem kli, that once you open the kli, it'll be chayev and tevila. And it's not gomro biyad Yisrael. It's a very interesting, fancy footwork over here. Very interesting. So the Sefer Tefilas Kelim in Ha'ara Yud Dalid quotes other reasons, other svaras that the Achronim give, the Poskim give, to try to be makel in this context. He quotes three different reasons. First of all, he quotes from the Chelkas Yaakov, another Chelkas Yaakov. Okay? He says, the Chelkas Yaakov holds there's no chiv of tevila on these canned or bottled items because you don't have kavana to be kona the kli. Since if you were to be kona the kli, it'll be usa to use the kli before tevila. You have no kavanas kinyan. A person doesn't want to be kona isurin. It's going to be usa to use the kli without the difficulty of having to empty the contents of the kli. So you don't have kavana to be kona the kli. And he adds viharaya that you don't have kavana to be kona the kli. After you finish using the kli, you throw it out. So you don't really have kavana to be kona that kli. You just want to be kona the contents. You kona the drink or the food that's contained within the kli, but you don't really have kavanah to be kona the kli. You have the status, says the Chelkas Yaakov, of a shoel. You're simply borrowing the kli from the guy. Now, the guy doesn't expect to get it in return. He's not expecting you to give it back. But the Chelkas Yaakov says, basically, you're no better than a shoel because you don't have kavanah's kinyan. This is a new idea. We saw the Gemara in Avodah Zarah distinguish between someone who's kona the kli and someone who only borrows the kli. That only a person who acquires the kli is chayav in tevila, but someone who borrows the kli from the non-Jew is not chayav in tevila. Yes, we talked about if a Jew borrows it from another Jew who acquired it from the non-Jew, so then since it was neschayav v'yan rishon, maybe the shoel will also be chayav. But basically speaking, there's a distinction to be drawn between kona as opposed to shoel. The Chelkas Yaakov says in the case of the bottled or canned foods and drink, basically, you don't have kavanah to be kona because you don't want to be kona the iser hishtamshus. It's going to be impossible. It's going to be forbidden to use the kli before tefillah. The haraya, you throw out the kli after you finish using it, so you don't have kavanah to be kona the kli. So you really don't have the status of a kona. You really are no better than a shoel, and that's why you're going to be potter from the tefillah. Yes?
When the company puts the product on sale, they factor in the cost of the container in the price. So even though your kavanah is not to be kona, you can't say that you're shoel either, because in theory that kli doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong.
Right. It definitely belongs to you, but if you don't have kavanas kinyan al pidin, you have the status of shoel. Because even if the other individual, even if the non-Jew wanted to be maknir to you, but you didn't really acquire from him, it's like a hefker almost. You're shoel from hefker. You're not kona. As long as you're not kona, you're not going to be chayvin tefillah.
But let's say after you're done drinking, you then decide, oh, you know what, I'm going to use this for something else. So then you'd have to...
We're going to talk about that. Let's say, right, does the din change if a person has bekavanah to reuse it? We'll talk about that at the end of the discussion. Okay, this is point number one that the Tefillas Kelim says. The Chelkas Yaakov claims that you don't have kavanah's kinyan at all, so therefore there's no chiv tefillah. Then the Tefillas Kelim quotes from the Maril Diskin and from Rav Moshe Feinstein, and this is later published in the Tshuva Sigris Moshe, Yerdei Chelek Beis, Simen Mem. Rav Moshe and the Maril Diskin suggest that maybe the reason why you're not chayiv in Tevila is not because you don't have kavanah to be kona the kli. It's because the kli is bottled to the meichel. The kli doesn't have a shem kli at all. The kli doesn't have a shem, the vessel that's containing the food or the drink doesn't have a shem kli at all. And they both make reference to a Gemara in Erevin, in Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, talking about Maaser Sheni. We know the halach in Maaser Sheni is that a person has to bring up the Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim, and if he can't bring it up to Yerushalayim because it's too heavy, he can't carry it, it's too hard to travel with it, so then he's pulled to the Maaser Sheni on money, and he brings the money up to Yerushalayim, and he buys food items in Yerushalayim to eat b'kedushas Maaser Sheni. So what's the halach in the following case? Let's say he's going to buy a drink. So they're going to sell the drink and put it in his hands. They're going to sell the drink in a kli. They could sell him the drink and put it, and he can put it in his own kelim, and he could only buy the drink, but that's not really normal. You go to a kiosk, you go to a store, they're going to sell you a drink in the receptacle, in the bottle. So what's the din? Are you allowed to buy with kesef maaser sheni food or drink that's going to be contained within the kli? The kli is not going to have kedushas maaser sheni, so how can you do that? Right, you have to eat up all of the item, all the value of Maaser Sheni. You have to either eat the Paris Maaser Sheni, or you have to be poda with the money, or buy with the money that you were poda the Paris of Maaser Sheni. You have to buy food that you can eat, Kedushas Maaser Sheni. How can the Kli of Kedushas Maaser Sheni can't eat the Kli? So the Gemara in Erevin quotes from the Mishnayis, actually quotes a Braisa. The Lashon of the Braisa is that you can be Lokeach Yayin Al Gav Kankano. It's mutter to buy the wine al gav kankano, meaning together with the kankan, together with the pitcher. The kankan is yotzei l'chul, the kankan is not nitfas in kedushas maaser sheni. It doesn't even get the kedusha. And the mishnah is the maaser sheni in Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. They say something similar, that if a person buys kadei yayin stumos, a person buys closed jugs or pitchers of wine, so where it's normal to be sold closed, the kankan is yotzei l'chulin. The barrel, the jug, is going to go out l'chulin. Why does it go out l'chulin? So as the Gemara explained, the Mishnah, the Mefarshim explained, the Mishnayis and the Gemara, basically what Chazal are telling us is that the kankan is bottled to the meichel. You're not really buying the kankan. The kankan is the receptacle that enables you to hold the meichel, to hold the juice, to hold the drink. But you're not really buying the kli. The kli is bottled to the meichel. So the only thing that's going to be kadosh b'kedushas ma'aser sheni is the food or the drink, not the kli. That's what allows you to buy the food or the drink in the kli, because you're not really buying the kli with the kesef ma'aser sheni. Even though the person might be adding to the price because the barrel costs a little bit of money, but you're not really buying that. It's really just bottle to the meichel or to the mashke. So similarly, you could say in the context of tefilas kelim that you're not really buying the kli, because the kli doesn't have a shame kli bichlal. It's just bottle to the meichel. It's bottle to the mashke. Not that you don't have kavana to be kona the kli. You're kona the kli, but you're not really being kona the kli. You're really being kona the food. You're being kona the drink. The kli is just bottle to the drink. So the kli is bottle to the drink. The same way that we wanted to say disposable kelim achayiv and tefila because they don't have a shame kli. This kind of kli that you're buying with the food in it, with the drink in it, maybe it doesn't have a shem kli either. Not because it's disposable, but because it's bottled to the meichel, it's bottled to the mashke that's contained within. This is svara number two. And then the Tefilas Kelim quotes another svara from the Maril Diskin. And this svara seems to have made it big. A lot of the posts can quote this svara. And that is that the only kind of shimush, the only kind of usage that we consider significant that will be mechayev you in Tefilas Kelim is a usage b'kum v'aseh, active usage, as opposed to shimush b'shevi al taseh, passive usage. If I put food or drink into a kli, I'm actively using that kli. That kli is now going to be chayev in tevila. But if I'm not putting food or drink into the kli, it happens to be there. So that's not called shimush b'kum v'aseh. I'm not actually using the kli. That's shimush b'shevi al taseh. I'm not putting the food or the drink into the kli. It's there. What am I doing? I'm emptying out the kli. Okay, emptying out the kli is not shimush b'kum v'aseh, because I didn't put the food or the drink into the kli. That's called shimush b'shevi al taseh. So even if you want to say that the kli is not bottle to the meichel or the mashke, even if you want to say that the person has kavanas kinyan, it doesn't matter. Because this kind of a kli, even though I've acquired the kli, but the usage that I'm making of this kli does not obligate me to be told that kli. Because this usage is called a shimush b'shevi al taseh, it's not a shimush b'kum v'aseh. So these are the three svaras that the Tefilas Kelim gives to explain why a person should be potter from Tefilas Kelim, certainly when he initially buys the food. He doesn't have to open up the Snapple bottle, empty out the contents, and be tovel the bottle. He doesn't have to open up the jar of coffee and empty the contents, or the tuna fish can. Why? Either because he doesn't have kavanah to be kona at all. He doesn't have kavanah to be kona the kli. Vihara is going to throw it out later. He doesn't care about the kli. He's only kona the contents. So really his status is one of a shoel. That's one possibility. The second possibility is that even if he's kona the kli, but the kli is botel to the meichel or the mashke, the kli is insignificant, just like when it comes to peres ma'aser sheni. So therefore it doesn't have a shem kli. Anything that doesn't have a shem kli, there's no chayiv of tevila. Well, thirdly, maybe we should say that the shimush, the usage that he's making of this kli, is the shimush b'shevi al tasa. It's not really active usage. So because it's not active usage, there's no chayiv of tevila whatsoever. What's the din if he already opened up the kli? Does he now have to empty the contents? L'chor, according to any one of these three svaris, one shouldn't have to empty the contents immediately either. If you assume, like the first svara, the Chalkes Yaakov, that he never had kavanah to be kona the kli. He doesn't have kavanah to be kona the kli even after he opens the kli. He doesn't want to be kona the kli. He'll throw it out. He'll throw it out once he gets finished with it. So if he doesn't have kavanah to be kona the kli, there should be no chayiv tefila even once he's opened the kli. Let's say you take the Maril Diskin, Rav Moshe Svar, the second Svar, that he does have kavanah to be kona the kli, but the kli is bottled to the meichel or the mashke. Or it's still bottled to the meichel or the mashke. So you shouldn't have to be kona, you shouldn't have to be tovah the kli. And thirdly, even if you take the Maril Diskin, second Svar, that a shimush b'shevi al tas is not called a shimush, but a shimush b'kum v'aseh is a significant usage and it would be mechayev and tevila, Lachar, even emptying out the kli slowly, that's not called a shimush. That's still not a shimush b'kum v'aseh. Did I put the meichel or the mashke into the kli? No. So I'm just emptying out the kli. Is there really any difference between emptying out the kli immediately or emptying it out slowly but surely? Probably not. So Lachorah, even according to the third approach, that shimush b'shevi al taseh doesn't obligate in tefilas kelim, emptying out the kli, using the kli b'derech achila, Lachorah also is like emptying out the kli, and that should not be mechayev me in tefilas kelim. How about to drink directly from the kli? That's not so clear. I think most poskim assume even drinking directly from the kli is mutter. What does it matter whether I pour it out or I pour it out by pouring it into my mouth, I'm still pouring it out by drinking from it. It's another way of emptying out the kli. I heard Rabbi Shachter felt that drinking from the kli is not the same as pouring it out from the kli. He's machmir that one should not drink directly from a soda can or from a Snapple bottle, because doing that would be viewed as a shimush bekumva asay, and that would taka be asa. Rabbi Shachter, it would be asa with that tefillah, I should say. Rabbi Shachter apparently assumes that the kli is not bottled to the meichel. He assumes that the person really does have kavara to be kona the kli. The only head there is the third svara, the last comment that the Maril Diskin made, and that is that a shimush b'shevi al tas is mutter, but a shimush b'kum asay is asa. Rabbi Shachter thought that drinking from the kli directly, from the soda can, from the Snapple bottle, is not called a shimush b'shevi al tas. You're using the kli. If all I'm doing is I'm pouring it out, so that's not called using the kli. Just like I could pour out the whole thing in one fell swoop, I could pour it out slowly, I'll pour it into my cup, and pour a little bit more into the cup later, that should be okay. But to drink directly from the kli might be a problem. And then he had a further suffix. What's the din if you want to use a straw? Is using a straw called emptying out the kli? And then it's mutter, it's just called emptying? Or would you say that's called using the kli? You can see it either way. Maybe the only time I view the individual as using the kli is if he drinks directly from the kli. But if he's using a straw, so there's no shimush b'kumba asay in the kli. There's only shimush b'kumba asay in the straw, but the straw doesn't require tefillah, it's plastic. So maybe that should be mutter. On the other hand, you could say, no, you're not emptying out the kli immediately, so you're using the kli in some way, even if you're not touching the kli, but you're using the kli b'kumba asay. Maybe that's defined as a shimish b'kumbasay, and it should be also to use the kli in such a way without the tevila. Jared?
Rav Shachter said that he was machmir b'tovel, like the aluminum pans and things, even though they were disposable, but because those could be used again.
Right.
But isn't that can't be used again?
Soda can be used again, but a Snapple bottle can certainly be used again. I've seen people use the soda can. Sure, because they take a soda, and then if they don't want to buy another soda, they'll just fill it up with water. They won't use it that long, but it is sturdy enough to be used for quite a significant period of time, more than two or three times. Aluminum pans, I don't think, can be used more than two or three times, because they get damaged, they get bent, they get... But a soda can? Does a soda can really get ruined? People make projects with soda cans. Right, we have a tendency of not using a soda can more than once because, you know, it's more cumbersome, it's harder to maneuver. But Snapple bottles, I think a lot of people reuse Snapple bottles. They certainly would like to reuse Snapple bottles, so at least in the case of the Snapple bottle, I don't think anyone would say that that's disposable. It's certainly sturdy enough to last a long time. People would like to use them over and over. So I think Rabbi Shechter's point is certainly a chumah that would apply to Snapple bottles. Yes?
Maybe we could just repeat the nachmir between the straw and directly from the bottle, I think.
Directly from the bottle, Rabbi Shechter thought, is called a shimush b'kumvaseh, because you're really actively using that kli. You're using it to drink from. But a straw, is a straw a shimush b'kumvaseh? Am I actively using the kli? Am I really touching the kli? I'm not moving the kli even. I'm just drinking from the straw. So maybe one would say that's called a shimush b'shevi al tasah. It's a passive usage. On the other hand, one might say, no, that's not... Passive-active doesn't mean that I'm moving the kli. It means I'm using the kli for some purpose, and I'm not just emptying the contents of the kli. So if I pour off from the kli, I'm emptying the contents. But if I'm using the kli to drink from, even though I'm not actively moving the kli when I'm drinking, l'chora, maybe that should still be called a shimush b'kumaseh. Hey, that's the suffix that Rabbi Shachter was grappling with. But if you're not using a straw, Rabbi Shachter thought, as a davar poshut, that you could not drink directly from the bottle. So this is really a shaila that comes up. People should know. I think most poskim are probably mekel. Most poskim are probably mekel that you could drink directly from the bottle or from the can. Rabbi Shachter is machmer on that score. How about the final question? Yes, Eitan.
Then according to Rabbi Shachter, you should also then have to pour it all out in one shot.
No. Rabbi Shachter would say that pouring it out as you're eating, that's still pouring out. But you're not using the kli. What are you using the kli for?
It's holding. I mean, that's the
stuff with the straw, though. It was holding before, too. Right? We're just saying that as long as you pour it out and you don't use the kli, that's still a shimish b'shevi al tasa. What's my shimish b'shevi al tasa? The company put the food or the drink into the kli, and I'm going to pour out the contents from the kli. So as long as I pour out the contents, even if I do it slowly, I don't do it in one fell swoop, they're still pouring out the contents. I'm not using the kli for the eating process. As opposed to if I drink from the kli, or maybe even if I drink from a straw from the kli, I'm using it to drink from. So maybe that's part of the eating process. Maybe that'll be called kumbasa. Yes?
Even further, at that point, wouldn't it now, it's yours and it becomes like a kli otzer? You're not going to, it's like you're storing whatever, the rest of the snapper or the rest of the tuna, whatever you're leaving in the can, and you're going to, you're not.
When does it become a kli otzer? What are you saying?
Maybe
when you drink from
it? If you only pour out some of it, or if you use some of it, and you put the rest in your closet, so then it becomes like a klei otzer.
Right, but we had a suffix whether klei otzer are chayv and tefila. But the chiddush over here is that even if it's a klei otzer might only be chayv and tefila, if I use the kli, become ase. Again, I need a shimush, become ase. So if the food or the drink were placed in the kli by someone else, I'm not really using the kli. I didn't make the kli into a klei otzer. I bought it that way. So maybe that's only a shimish b'shevi al tasa that would not obligate me to be tovel this kli. That's the question. Okay? What's the final shaila that we have to address? Let's say you empty out all the contents of the kli, but you want to reuse the kli. Is there a chiyuv tefila then? What do you think? The charet should depend on the different reasons. Let's put two and two together. Right? According to Rav Moshe and the Maril Diskin, the first svar that the Maril Diskin gave, the kli is bottled to the meichel. Great. But that's only in the first usage. If I decide to reuse the kli is not bottled to any meichel. You put the meichel into the kli later. So clearly, in that case, what should the din be? You now put the meichel into the kli. Now the kli is no longer bottled to the meichel. But who completed the kli? It was Gamar B'Yad Yisrael. So should there be a chiv of tefillah? The kli is certainly not bottled to the meichel, but who made that kli? Who gave the kli the shame kli? The Yisrael. So according to that svara, the charet zedavar pasha, there should be no chiyuv of tefillah at all. How about according to the other two? So according to the Maril Diskin's second svara, that shimush b'shevi al tasa is not chayv in tefillah, what's the din if you want to reuse the kli? Of course you chayv in tefillah, there's no question about it. That's not shimush b'shevi al tasa by definition. That's certainly shimush b'kumase. So that would be, according to that svara, you'd be chayv in tefillah. Similarly, according to the Chagas Yaakov, the first svara, you should also be chayiv in tevila if you want to reuse the kli. Why? The Chagas Yaakov was careful to say, how do we know that you didn't have kavanah to be kona the kli? Because why? What's the raya? You're going to throw it out later. You don't care about the kli. No, but if you're reusing the kli, it's misbar lemafreya retroactively. We now see that you did care about the kli. I guess you could say that it depends on whether mitchila, whether in the beginning you had kavana to reuse the kli, or only later you said, even though I was going to throw out the kli initially, but now I want to reuse it. You know, if you had that kind of an idea, so maybe initially you taka, we're not kona the kli, so maybe we again should say that only now you're kona the kli. That's a little bit strange. Right? I think according to the Chalkas Yaakov, if you reuse the kli, it could be that your whole heter from the beginning is going to fall away. In which case, it could be that you never had a heter to keep the food or the drink to begin with in the kli without emptying out immediately and being told of the kli. So you better not be relying. I mean, if you rely on the Chalkas Yaakov, you better not reuse that kli. So I think most mefarshim assume like the Maril Diskin second svara. I think that's the pismon. That's the language that a lot of the poskim use. That the key is, are you using the kli actively? Is this a shimush b'kum v'aseh, or is it only a shimush b'shevi al tasa? So if you use that svara, you're safe and sound in terms of using the kli, holding the contents in the kli without emptying it immediately when you buy it. And you're even in good in a good situation. There will be no chiv of tevila. Even once you open the kli, you can use it slowly. There's no need to empty the contents immediately. But you should be careful not to reuse the kli. People like to do that. They empty out the Snapple bottle and then they want to fill it up with water. They go to the water fountain, they fill up some cold water and they take it to the basketball court. So that should be avoided, unless you're tovel the kli. If you have a lake that you can be tovel the kli, that's one thing. But I think it's probably a lot easier just to get a plastic canteen to put your cold water in. But it's something to know. People don't realize this, that if you empty out the Snapple bottle, you finish drinking from your Snapple bottle, you really should not fill it up with cold water to drink some more, because there's a real shaylof to vilas kalim there. Once you're using the kli actively, that might be called a shimush b'kum ma'aseh, and then there would be a chiyuv of tevila. And in most circumstances, a person is not going to be told with the kli. So it's probably better not to reuse the kli, even though it would be mutter to use the kli in the first place without having any tevila. Okay. We mentioned the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and the Afayin Hayam Adbei says that a person is chayv in tevilas kalim only if he acquires the kli from the non-Jew. What is acquiring the kli from the non-Jew? What does the non-Jew do? So either the non-Jew created the kli, he manufactured the kli, now he sold it to the Jew, or the non-Jew bought the kli from another Jew. Even if the kli were manufactured by a Jew and sold to another Jew, it was owned by 15 Jews, if the non-Jew buys it from the last Jew, then if another Yisrael buys it from the guy, he'll have to be tovel again, because once the kli was owned by the non-Jew, then there's a chiv of tevila. The Gemara at the end of the sugya there on Daf Ayin Hamad Beis raises an interesting question, a different case. We've talked about kinyan as opposed to she'ela. How about mashkan? Ibailahu mashkanta mai. Amar mar bravashi abba mishkan le'ovik ochavim kasa de kaspa va'at b'lei v'ishti be. The Gemara asks the following shayla: what's the halacha of a mashkin? So my Ravashi says his father Ravashi lent a non-Jew money, and the non-Jew gave him a mashkon. He gave him collateral in the form of a kasa de kaspa, silver becher. And Ravashi was matbil the kli, and he drank from it. Ravashi apparently was able to use the kli. The non-Jew allowed him to use it, even though it wasn't yet payment for the chov, for the loan. But he was allowed to use it, but before he used it, he was careful to be matbil it. The lo yadani mishem the kasava mashkanta kizvini damya imishem the chazi laovik alchavim the daite lishkuei. Mar Bravashi said he didn't know why his father was matbil the kli. Was it because he held that mashkanta is kizvina, meaning mashkon, when the lova gives the mashkon to the malve, it's like a mechira to the malve. The malve is acquiring it. It's a kinyan. The malve is acquiring this mashkon, so therefore it's chayv and tefila mamish, just like a case in which a Yisrael acquires a kli from a non-Jew. Or no, Ravashi perhaps saw that daite l'shkua, that the non-Jew had kavana to leave it by the Jew, by the malve. He wasn't going to take it back. Now, there are some mashkonos that the lova will give to the malve, but then he expects to get it back. But after a while, the lova is not repaying the loan. You know, normally a mashkon is given to the malve in order for the malve to convince the malve to extend the loan. That's a mashkon b'shas halva. Well, the other case of mashkon is a mashkon shelo b'shas halva b'shas piron. In order to extend further time for the lova to repay the loan, sometimes the lova will butter up the malve by giving him a mashkon. But if time is passing and the lova is not paying up the loan, so it sort of seems like the lova wants to just leave the loan by the malva. So that's the question over here. Ravashi was matbil the cost of the kaspa before he used it. Why? Is it because he held that every case of mashkon requires tevila, even if it's not daite l'shkua yet? We don't see that the non-Jew wants to leave it by the Yisrael? Or should we say, no, it's because it was daite l'shkua, he was afraid. It looked like the Akum wanted to leave it by him. So that's why he was matbil, because then it clearly becomes kishalo, it becomes almost like his. So this is the suffix in the Gemara. Should we assume that every mashkon is kizvini, every mashkon is like an acquisition of the Yisrael, of the Malve Yisrael? Or should we assume, no, it's a question. If daite l'shkua, if the non-Jew gave the mashkon and we see that the non-Jew wants to leave it by the Yisrael, so then the Yisrael has to be told, because then it's mamish kishalo. But if it's not daite l'shkua, so then a stam mashkon is not kizvini. That's the suffix in the Gemara. Tosis and Dibur Maschali says the kevin the low of sheet the matbilin lemashkanta below bracha. Tosis says it's an ibay the low of sheet in the Gemara. We don't know what the answer is. So we're matbil the mashkanta without a bracha. This is the old solution to the problem. This was the raya that we brought on the first day, opening day. We talked about whether tefilas kalim is a mitzvah deraisa, mitzvah derabanan. So we said the raya that it must be a mitzvah deraisa, is that sveka deraisa lechumra. So if Tosis is being machmir when it comes to mashkon and saying that we should be matlo the mashkon without a bracha, so he's mekel on the bracha is only the rabbanon, but the actual tevila is the mitzvah deraisa, so sveka deraisa l'chumra. This was the raya that we had, that tevila's klei matches at least should be viewed as a mitzvah deraisa. Tosus Wolf is another possibility, another suggestion. He says, "Vim yesh lo kli shekana min ha'ovei kochavim ha'mechuyot tefila yapil ze'imo v'yivarech al shneim." Another solution, another popular solution the post can give in cases of suffik. And that is, if you have another kli that's v'adechayiv in tefila, so be tovel the other kli with a bracha. And then agav, the other kli, you'll be tovel this kli too. So then there's no suffik, there's no problem. If you have no other kli, so then you have to be tovel the kli in order to use it, but don't make a bracha. Suffik brachos lahakel, but speaking of the rice lechubra in the tevila. But if you have another kli, so there's no problem. Just be tovel the other kli, make a bracha on the other kli, and that's it. And then you don't have to make a separate bracha on this kli. Tosus at the end adds another point to this case of mashkan. We'll get to the middle of Tosus later. The middle of Tosus talks about uman, if a craftsman fixes a kli. We'll get to that in a moment. But Tosus at the end adds a caveat to this whole discussion of mashkan. The Gemara is talking about a case where the lova is a non-Jew, and he's memashkein the mashkan. He gives the collateral to the Jew. Says Tosfos, aval hamamashkein kli laove kochavim v'chazer upoda, but if the Yisrael is the lova, and he was memashkein the kli to the non-Jew, who was the malve, he gave the collateral to the non-Jew, and then he's chozer upoda, then he redeems the mashkan, meaning he pays off the loan and gets the mashkan back from the non-Jew. Ain't tzarech tefila. Tosfos says that doesn't require any tefila. But you'll ask me, what's the difference? What's the difference if the Yisrael gives the mashkan to the non-Jew, or the non-Jew gives the mashkan to the Yisrael? It's the same suffix in the Gemara. It's the Zel Bazach, right? It's the same thing. It's a mashkan. So if you have a suffix, whether a mashkan is kizvini or not, so paskin l'chumra. You want to say that Tfilas Kalim is a mitzvah d'araisa, sveka d'araisa l'chumra? So sveka d'araisa l'chumra, whether the lov is a non-Jew or the lov is a Jew. So says Tosfos, no. Even though the Gemara is a suffix with a mashkanta kizvini, le'inyan ha vaday pshita de lo havi kizvini. Regarding this case where the Yisrael gave the mashkan to the non-Jew and now he gets it back from the non-Jew, that everyone agrees it's not kizvini. What's the chilek? What's the distinction? Why should it matter? This case, it's a suffix. That case, we know for sure it's not kizvini. It's not a kinyan. Why shouldn't I assume that maybe mashkan is kizvini? It's a suffix where the mashkan is kizvini. So the non-Jew acquired the mashkan from the Yisrael, and now it's a suffix whether the Yisrael is acquiring the clay akum. He's acquiring the mashkan that the non-Jew owned. Maybe I should view this as a zvini. When he gave the mashkan to the non-Jew, it's as if he was mocher to the non-Jew, so now he's acquiring it back from the non-Jew. If it's a suffix where the mashkan kizvini, it should work both ways. What's Tosus saying? Tosus assumes the suffix only exists if the lova is a non-Jew and he gives the mashkan to the Yisrael. But the suffix doesn't exist in the reverse direction if the Jew gave a mashkan to the non-Jew and then he's poda it back from the non-Jew. What's the difference? So the Achronim, the Nosakelim on Tosfos, work very hard to try to explain this Tosfos. The Marshah, this is in page 7 in the big handout if you still have it. The Marshah says, V'yesh l'chalek da'ove kochavim shemishken kol zman shemashkan v'yad Yisrael merzi kishalom d'shema yishaka etzlo. If an ove kochavim gives a mashkan to the Yisrael, so then the Yisrael has to be matbil a mashkan before he uses it, because there's a chashash shema yishaka etzlo. Maybe he'll leave it by the Yisrael. Mashenkein says the Marshah v'Yisrael shemishken kevin shepedo kvar shuvlo merzi kizvini kishahaya b'yad akum. If the Yisrael gave the mashkan to the non-Jew and then he was poda, it's no longer merzik hizvini when it was in the hand of the non-Jew. If the guy gave the mashkan to the Yisrael, it's merzik hishalo, it's merzi like the Yisrael, it's merzik Yisrael, as long as it's in the hands of the Yisrael, kushem yishaka etzlo, there's a chashash, maybe the non-Jew will leave it by the Jew. But if the Yisrael gives a mashkan to a non-Jew, and then he's poda, so it doesn't look like it was merzik hashalo, that it belonged to the akum kol zman shehaya tachas yado. What's the Marsha saying? Merzik hashalo? Who mentioned the idea of merzik hashalo? The Marsha is a big chiddush. His whole orientation is a chiddush. We were assuming that the suffik in the Gemara, the suffik the Gemara presented about mashkan, is a suffik on a level of Daraisa, meaning there's a suffix whether minatora mashkan kizvini, alpidin is mashkan kizvini, or is it not kizvini? If it's not kizvini, so then only if we see that daite l'shkue, then the Yisrael will be chayev to be matpil the mashkan. But if it's not daita lishkui, then if alpidin mashkin is not kazvini, he's not going to be chayev. But if daita kazvini, the impression we got is that minat Torah it's kizvine, mashkon is like a mechira. Balchov kona mashkon would tell me that the balchov, in a sense, is kona the mashkon to some extent, alpidin minat Torah. And that's why when the love gets back the mashkon, he should have to be matbele. The Marsha seems to be saying this is not a svara mitzad hadin. Tosus clearly assumed that it was a svara mitzad hadin. It seemed like Tosus was saying that. Not so clear. The Ran certainly assumed that way. Remember, we mentioned the Ran. This was also opening day. The Ran said that the Rambam l'shitaso, the Rambam must assume that Tfilas Kelim is only midrabanan, even for Klei Matris, because the Rambam paskins by Mashkon that what? That what? That there's no chi of tefillah whatsoever. Not even tefillah without a bracha. So the Ran says, you see, the Rambam assumed that tefillas kelim, even klei matos, must be midrabanan and sveikah derabanan lekula. So what's the Ran clearly assuming? If you were to hold that sveikah deraisa lechumra, if you were to hold that tefillas kelim is midaraisa, so then there would be a chiyuv of tefillah over here. It sounds like it's a din deraisa. Mashkan kezvini would be a din deraisa according to the Ran. First glance, according to Tosus as well, if not, why should I be machmir? If this is only a suffix on a level of the Rabbanan, why should I be machmir to be matbil the kli? Why should I be machmir to be matbil the kli? It's only mid Rabbanan to begin with. But that's what the Marsha is saying. The Marsha seems to be saying, in a Torah, there's no chiv anyway. Mashkin Kazini is not on a level of Daraisa. The suffix in the Gemara is this. Do we say Mashkin Kazini le'inyan that it's merzi kishalo? Merzi kishalo, does it look like his? That's the question. So the suffix in the Gemara claims the Marsha is only about a case in which the non-Jew is the Lova. So he's giving the Kli to the Jew, the Malva. That's the suffix in the Gemara. Is it Merzik Shalom? Does it look like it's Shalom because there's a Chashash of Shem Yishaka Etzlo? Maybe he'll leave it by the Jew. So it looks like it's Kishalom as long as it's Bershus HaYisrael. When it's Bershus Yisrael, the Yisrael wants to use that Kli. So does it look like it's Shalom? The answer is yes. It looks like a shalom. It looks like there was a kenyan. Not that minat Torah there's a real kenyan. It looks like there was a kenyan. Ah. But let's say the person who was mamashkin is the Yisrael. The Yisrael is the lova. He gave the kli to the non-Jew as a mashkon. So when are we looking at this case? Where are we on this timeline? We're not looking on the timeline when the guy has it. We don't care. The guy is not going to be told with the kli. The guy is not mechuyev in tefilas kelim. We're concerned once the Yisrael gets it back. So once the Yisrael gets it back, do we look at it now and say, oh, you know, it was Merzi Kishalo when it was Biyad Akum, and now it's not Merzi Kishalo anymore because the Yisrael got it back. No. Once the Yisrael gets it back, it turns out, Lemafre, it never was Merzi Kishalo when it was Bishus Akum. The only reason it's Merzi Kishalo is because Shemi Yishaka Etzlo. We're always afraid. Maybe he'll leave it by him. But once the Yisrael is poed there, once he reclaims the Mashkon, it turns out, Lemafre, it was never Merzi Kishalo Bishas Akum. Or once the Yisrael gets it back, we don't look at it as though he was reacquiring it from the non-Jew. We say he never had kavana to be Meshaka Etzlo to begin with. So if he never had kavana to leave it by the non-Jew, it always belonged to the Jew. If it always belonged to the Jew, there's no chiyuv tevila. That's what Tosfos had in mind. That's how the Marsha seems to interpret Tosfos. Yes?
Why is it with the Jew, we assume he never had kavana to leave it?
Because once the Jew gets it back, it's clear to us that he never had kavana to leave it. If he had kavana to leave it, he would have left it. He redeemed. Ah, you're saying at some point in time he had kavanah to leave it? If the Jew himself knows that he had kavanah to leave it, so basically he has to leave it with the guy. He can't get it back. He could ask the non-Jew, could you sell it back to me? But until he asks him to do that, if the Jew really had kavanah to leave it by the non-Jew, he can't claim it back. He can't reclaim the mashkon. He has to leave it by the non-Jew. The fact that he was chozer upoda, the fact that he paid up the loan, indicates that he never had in mind to leave it by the non-Jews. So it was never Merzi Kishalo. If it was never Merzi Kishalo, there should be no reason to be tovah the kli when it comes back. Okay, this is how the Marsha understood Tosfos. Yes?
But,
yeah.
Oh, sorry,
Jared, go ahead.
Okay, if the non-Jew pays him back, and
the case of the Gemara, where the non-Jew is below that.
Yeah, let's say the non-Jew pays him back and says, okay, I'm going to be stopping by, you know, tomorrow to pick up the mashkon. The Jew wouldn't be able
to use it at that point, probably.
Okay, but if he was able to use it.
If he were able to use it, so then it would not be chayv tefila because it's not melzik shelo once the non-Jew paid up. Yeah, I imagine. But I don't think he'd be able to use it because he's not a balchov once the chov is paid up. The whole idea of balchov kana mashkin, that he has some kind of kinyan, some kind of a relationship with the object that's only before the chov is paid up. Danny?
Yeah, same question.
Okay. The karnei re'aim. Meridik. The karnei re'aim has a different pshat in Tosis. Alamda shepshat. Very interesting. The karnei re'aim suggests maybe the idea of balchov kana mashkin is different if the balchov is a Jew or a non-Jew. Maybe we'll only say balchov kona mashkin if the non-Jew is the love and the Jew is the balchov. So the non-Jew is giving a mashkin to the Jew. That's certainly Yisrael be Yisrael will say balchov kona mashkin if both parties are Jewish. So then we'll say balchov kona mashkin. Maybe the chiddush is when it comes to Jew and non-Jew relations over here. So maybe if the non-Jew is the one who is giving the mashkin to the Jew, so then the balchov, the Yisrael, is kona mashkin. But perhaps we can suggest that a non-Jew who's a balchov of a Jew will not be called a mashkon from the Jew. And that's a Gemara Psachim. He makes reference to a Gemara Psachim on Daf Lamed Beis, where the Gemara does distinguish between Yisrael may Akum as opposed to Akum me Yisrael. That apparently this idea of balchov kon a mashkon, if the lova and the malva, one of them is a Jew and one of them is a non-Jew, it only works one way. That only if the non-Jew is giving his mashkin to the Yisrael will we say balchov kana mashkin. But in the reverse direction, it doesn't work. So that's the simple answer. The whole idea that mashkanta kizvini, that there could be some kind of connection. It's interesting. But the Karnei Re'aim also says merzik kizvini. It sounds like both the Karnei Re'aim and the Marsha don't want to say minat Torah. There's really an actual kinyan in the mashkin. It's a real mechira. It's only merzik kizvini. But be that as it may, maybe the only time that we'll say that mashkanta is merzik kizvini is if a non-Jew is giving his mashkan to the Yisrael, who's the balchov. But if the balchov is a non-Jew, maybe we would not say balchov kana mashkan. So that would explain why there's a suffix in the Gemara about merzik kizvini if the balchov is the Yisrael. But Tosus claims if the balchov is a non-Jew, there's no suffix at all. Because the whole suffix is built on the fact that balchov kana mashkan, there is no balchov kana mashkan if the balchov is a non-Jew and the lov is a Jew. So therefore, the suffix of the Gemara would not begin, and that's why Tosa says that if the Yisrael gives a mashkan to the Akum, and then he reclaims the mashkan, he's chozer upoda, there'd be no need to be matbil the mashkan once again. Okay, this is the lumdus, the back and forth in the Gemara, and how to understand the distinction that Tosa draws between the case of the Balchov Yisrael as opposed to the Balchov Akum. Let's read another part of Tosfos. Tosfos says, we'll sort of work our way backwards now. Tosfos says, Hamocha kli la'akum v'chozar v'lokach mimenu tzorech tefila. A different case, not mashkin. Let's say you sell a kli to a non-Jew, and then you reacquire it from him. So says Tosfos, you have to be matbil it again. Kevan shenikra al shem ovekochavim. Since it had, the name of the ovekochavim was associated with this kli. That's what Tosfos says. That if you reacquire a kli from a non-Jew that you sold a kli to, there's a chiv of tefilas kelim. Again, this was a kli, the guy could have acquired it from a Jew, it doesn't matter. The point is, once the Yisrael reacquires it from the Jew, I guess the chiddush here is the Yisrael owned the kli to begin with. He only sold it to the guy. So now you're reacquiring the same kli, you did a tevila, let's say you did a tevila on the kli initially, but now you sold it to the non-Jew, there's a chiv to be re-tovel, this claims Tosfos. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. Shulchan Aruch in Yeridayin Simen Kuf Chaf Sif Yud Aleph paskins that if Yisrael sells his own kli to the non-Jew and then he reacquires the kli, he has to be chozev v'tovel. He has to do another tefilas kelim. The Pisrei Tshuva there in Sifkot and Yud Gimel is a very interesting discussion in light of this comment of Tosfos. He says, what's the din when it comes to Mechiras Chametz? Some people had an old minig in some communities. It's not done that much nowadays. But in some old communities, they used to sell their kelim as well. They'd sell the kelim to the non-Jew because they were afraid not only of the be'en, not only of the tangible chametz that's stuck onto the outside of the kli, they were afraid of the blios, of the absorptions of chametz in the kli. They wanted to be machmer even for that. Chumer the chametz was so machmer on chametz, it's also b'masho, so people wanted to be machmer in this as well. So the Pisrei Tshuva here in Hilchos Tefilas Kelim quotes from the Chochmas Adam that, you know, they'll get out of one problem, but they get themselves into a different problem. Now it'll turn out if they sold their kelim to the guy in order to avoid the isuf chametz, so now they're going to have to be matbil the kelim. They'll have to be tovel the kelim after Pesach, because according to Tosfos, they sold the kli to the non-Jew and then they reacquired it from the non-Jew. So that should be a big problem. To be retovel all the kelim at every Pesach, we're going to go to the mikveh to be retovel all the kelim after Pesach. That's a big chumrah. But that's what the Chacham HaSadim says. According to Tosfos, what should emerge is that if that's what you're going to do, then you should have to be retovel the kelim. So the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, in page Ayin Zayin, Ha'ara Dalet, has a long arichas about this. He quotes some Acharonim who suggest that maybe even if you want to be machmir to sell your kelim with the blias of chametz, maybe this still is not a problem. Maybe you shouldn't have to be retovel the kelim. He quotes from the Aruch HaShulchan, who suggest that maybe this is a special kind of a mechira, because everyone knows this mechira is not a real mechira. It's just a chumer bialma, meaning selling the kelim in order not to have the blios of chametz in your rishus. Me'ikar adin, there's no iser of chametz and blios. And he says also, everyone knows that people are going to reacquire the kelim after Pesach, so there's no shame nachri on the kli. The Shem Nachri is not Chal on the Kli. The whole idea of Tosfos is that the Shem Nachri is going to be Chal on the Kli temporarily when he buys the Kli from the Yisrael. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that's just not true when it comes to Mechiras Chametz. He says, first of all, everyone knows the Mechira is not a real Mechira. It's a strange idea. If the Mechira is not a real Mechira, why do it? But he says, okay, everyone knows the Mechira. You don't really have to be Mocha the Belias. I mean, come on, you can't see them. That's not real Chametz. You can't see it. So everyone knows that not that people in general know Mechiras Chametz is just a harama. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that Mechiras Chametz on the Belios is only a Chumer B'Alma. Mechiras Chametz of real Chametz, that's not a Chumer B'Alma. Whether it's a harama or not is a different issue, but that's not a Chumer. The Mechira on the Belia is a Chumer, he says. And everyone knows that, you know, come on, how many goyim have kept the kelim? How many goyim have kept the Chametz after Pesach? So it's going to go back to the Jew. So the Shem Nachri is not going to be Chal on the Belia. That's what he suggests. I think the popular minig is not to do it altogether. Most Rabbanim suggest that you don't have to sell the kelim at all. If you want to be machmir, what you should do is you should say that you want to sell the chametz that's dovuk to the kli, the chametz that's stuck onto the kli. Sometimes they have a nusach in some of the shtaros of mechiras chametz that you want to sell the chametz that's in the mechanism, you know, that's stuck on to, if you have a mixer or something like that, if it's stuck on, caked on to the kli, so then you want to sell that kind of a chametz. But belios, you don't want to sell at all. So the caked on chametz is not going to obligate you to be tovel the kli, because you're not selling the kli at all, so there won't be a problem in that case. Okay. The final comment that Tosis makes is about the uman. Tosis says like this: Hanosen kli l'uman ovei kochavim l'saken. Afilu l'mad amar uman kona b'shmach kli ein tzarech tvila kevin de'ein shmo olav. The lohavi kamaisa shahaya shayu akelim shel midyan. Says Tosfos, let's say you give a kli to an uman, a non-Jewish uman, to fix. What's the din? Is there a new chiyuv of tvilas kelim? Let's say a hole develops in my becher. So my becher was made in Eretz Yisrael. It didn't require tvilas kelim. It was made by Jews, let's say. So I was never told the becher, but now I develop a hole in the becher, so I have to solder something in. I have to give it to a silversmith to fix the becher, and it happens to be that the silversmith that I give it to is a non-Jew. There are many Jewish silversmiths, but let's say the silversmith in my area is a non-Jew. So what should be the din? We know there's an old machlokas in the Gemara in different contexts, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and in Kiddushin and other places, talks about whether uman is kona b'shvach kli. Does a craftsman acquire the shvach hakli, the man nafkamina? He has to give back the kli. No one says he can keep the kli. So the nafkamina, the Gemara in Kiddushin, is, let's say he wants to be mekadesh and isha with that shevach. He wants to be mekadesh and isha. Does he have like some kind of an ownership in the kli that if he wants to be mekadesh and isha with that kli, the Kiddushin is going to work? He doesn't really own the kli, but if a woman comes up with shvach kli, somehow he has some kind of a zikah. He has some kind of a connection to the kli, so maybe if he's mekadesh and isha with that kli, maybe the kedushin should be chal. That's this discussion of the Gemara kedushin. So it's a lamdasha issue, but the question is how does that relate to tefilas kelim? So Tosis immediately tells you it doesn't relate at all. The shail of whether Uman Konam Shvach Kli or not does not relate to Tfilas Kalim, says Tosis. Because Tosis says even if Uman Konam Shvach Kli, but in Tfilas Kalim there won't be any Chiyah because Ein Shmo Olaf. It's not Dumi Demaisa Shai. We keep on saying that the Chiyah of Tfilas Kalim is patterned after the story of Klei Midyan in Parshas Matos. That after Bnei Yisrael came back from Midyan, they had to be told with the Kalim that they acquired from Midyan. So the Gemara keeps on saying it has to be Kemaisa Shahaya. Kemaisa Shahaya Belekuchim. Kemaisa Shahaya. Here, Tosa says it's Kemaisa Shahaya, that it's not just an Uman, but you're actually acquiring the Klei. Kemaisa Shahaya. So Tosa says it's unrelated to the question as to whether Uman Kona Mishvach Klei or not. The Rush quotes those who are not convinced by Tosfos. The Rush in Simen Lamed Hei quotes the Yesh Rotzim Lomar that this is dependent on the Shaila whether Uman Konam Mishvach Kli or not. If you were to hold Uman Konam Mishvach Kli, the Rush claims, according to these Yesh Rotzim Lomar, you would have to be Tovo the Kli. It's only according to the Manda Amar that Uman is not Konam Mishvach Kli that you don't have to be Tovo the Kli because it never belonged to him. But Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos claims that it's unrelated to the question as to whether Uman Konam Mishvach Kli or not. Even if you hold Uman Konam Mishvach Kli, that's a shaila regarding Kedushin, regarding other issues, but unrelated to Tvilas Kalim. Tvilas Kalim requires Shem Hanochri Olav. So even if Uman Konam Mishvach Kli, we wouldn't say that the Shem Uman is on the Kli. If the Shem HaUman is not on the Kli, then there's no Chiv of Tvila. The truth is, you could have disagreed with the Yesh Rotzim Lomar and the Rush for a different reason, not quite the way Tosfos says it. The Ktzos in Simen Shin Vav Sivkot and Dalid has a long discussion as to what exactly does this concept mean, that Uman Kona Bishvach Kli. So most of us think it means that he somehow Kona the Guf HaKli Le'inyan the Shevach, because he bettered the Kli, he was Mashbiach the Kli, he created some kind of Hana in the Kli, so therefore he's Kona the Guf HaKli Agav the Shevach. Through the Shevach somehow he has some kind of Kinyan in the physical object. So the Ktzos quotes from different achronim who want to suggest, I think this is the pshat that the Ktzos prefers, that even if you claim Uman Kona Bishvach Kli, that doesn't mean he has a kinyan in the Guf HaKli. It means he has a kinyan in the Shevach HaKli. Somehow the Shevach HaKli is not the physical Kli, but it's enough to be Makarish and Isha with. You are giving her something, since you have a kinyan in the Shevach HaKli, which is more invisible. It's not physical. Right, it's less quantifiable, but it is significant. It's less quantifiable, but it is significant. So therefore, you could be Mekadesh and Isha with that Shevach. But if we assume like this Ktzos, then the whole Kasha never began. Because even if you say Uman Kona Bishvach Kli, you don't have to say like Ktzos that, well, Shem HaUman never took effect on the Kli. No, there's a much more basic reason why there's no Chiyuv of Tevila. Because the Uman was never really Kona, the Guf HaKli, to begin with. He was Kona the Shevach HaKli. Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, not B'Guf HaKli Le'inyin the Shevach. So if he's only Kona the Shevach, what's the issue? The guy never owned the Kli, the physical Kli. So if he never owned the physical Kli, there should be no Chiyuv of Tevila. So that's according to the Ktzos. I guess Tosfos was not assuming like that Ktzos. I think the Ktzos makes reference to some of the Rishonim here in the Sugya. And some Achronim want to bring Raya's, maybe from the fact that Tosfos didn't give this answer, maybe that shows that he really is Kona the Guf HaKli or not. This is a Lumdisha issue that's not really directly germane to what we're talking about, but it's very nice, it's very enjoyable. So when you get to the Gemara Kedusha, maybe you can talk about it further. L'maisa, how do we paskin? So the Mechaber and the Ramah have 2 days in Sif Yud, whether we assume Uman Kona Bishvach Kli and Shem Akum Olav, or we say that even if you hold Uman Kona Bishvach Kli, ain't Shem Akum Olav. So in other words, according to one day, if we paskin Uman Kona Bishvach Kli, which we do paskin, then there would be a problem here. That's what the Ramah paskins. But the Machaber says no, that he paskins like Tosfos, that even if you hold Uman Kona Bishvach Kli, but ain't shame Ha'uman ala Kli, so there wouldn't be a problem. So according to the Ramah, it seems like there really is a room to be Machmer here. So let me leave you with a comment of the Chazon Ish, a very interesting idea. The Chazon Ish, in his Sefer in Bava Kama, of all places, at the end of Os Yud, the Chazon Ish suggests that even according to the Machmir, even according to the Ramah, who holds that Lamanda Omar, Uman Kona Bishvach Kli, there is some kind of a real Kenyan, and if there's a real Kenyan, then you'll have to be Tovo the Kli after the Uman fixes up the Kli, says the Chazon Ish, that's only if the Uman is an Uman Yisroel. If the Uman is a non-Jewish Uman, So then we're not going to say Uman Kona B'Shvachli. Right? This is the opposite of what you were talking about, Jared, right? Even if you say Uman Kona B'Shvachli, that's only going to be by Uman Yisrael, but not by Uman Akum. Why not? Zogta Chazan Ish. Because if Bedinehem, if Bedine Akum, if Bedina de Malchusa, the non-Jewish Uman, the non-Jewish craftsman, has no Zuchus in the Kli, meaning if the non-Jewish government wouldn't say Uman Kona B'Shvachli, so what right does the non-Jew have in the Jewish Kli? What, halacha is going to give the non-Jew more of a connection to the Kli, more of a zchus in the Kli, than the Dine Akum would give? Claims the Chazon Ish, it doesn't make much sense. So since B'dine Akum, B'zman HaZeh, no one would say Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. What, you give your Kli to a craftsman, he has a kinyan in the Kli? No one would say that B'dine Akum, so says the Chazon Ish, B'dine Yisrael, we shouldn't say Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli either. So it would come out, according to the Chazon Ish, even if we'll be machmer for the Ramah, to assume that L'manda Omer, Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, then there's a problem if you give your kli to the Uman and now you take it back from the Uman because he really acquired it and now you're acquiring it from the Uman. That would only apply, according to the Chazon Ish, by Uman Yisrael, by a Jewish craftsman. But by a non-Jewish craftsman, since Bedine Akum, there is no halacha of Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, so then Bedine Yisrael, it won't apply either, because it doesn't make sense that the Akum, that the non-Jewish Uman, will have a greater right. He'll have a greater right. The Torah will give him a greater right in the Kli of the Yisrael more than the Dine Akum will give him.